puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
It's that time of the week, my friends, to get a taste into the history and geography of Manitoba with Gordon Goldsborough, who joins me now from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
Now, remind us of the clue from last week.
Well, I said that we were going to be considering a building along Henderson Highway here in Winnipeg. It reminds us of a noteworthy event in the history of the city that occurred on the 1st of January, 1972.
Very specific. Okay, tell us, what building are we talking about?
We're talking about the former North Kildonan Municipal Hall.
Okay, what's a municipal hall before we go any further?
Okay, well, we're not talking about a hall in the sense of a music venue where you'd go for a concert or something. We're talking about essentially the equivalent of a city hall. You know, of course, here in Winnipeg, we have a great big city hall along Main Street. It's where the city government occurs. It's where many civil servants do their jobs. Essentially, it's the center of government. And if you don't have a city, if you have a town or a village or a municipality of some kind, well, more generally, you could call it a municipal hall. So it's basically, it's the center of local government.
Okay, so what's so significant about that date?
Well, that's the date on which the amalgamation of 14 municipalities occurred to create what we now think of as the city of Winnipeg. That was what we now call Unicity, was formed on the 1st of January, 1972. Now, and the way we know this happened was that if we look at the current statistics, the census data for Winnipeg, population of Winnipeg is about 700,000 people. In 1971, the year just before our date, the population was about 250,000, about 250,000. 5 years later, the next census in 76, it had jumped to over double that. So, you know, it either means that a whole bunch of people moved to Winnipeg, which doesn't seem terribly likely.
Or, why not?
Or they simply just started counting more people, and that's what happened. They simply started counting. Well, let me just enumerate for you what happened. The city of Winnipeg, what is the downtown core of Winnipeg today, it combined with the rural municipalities of Assiniboia, Charleswood, Fort Garry, and North Kildonan. The municipality of Old Kildonan, the towns of Brooklands and Tuxedo, and the cities of East Kildonan, St. Boniface, St. James, St. Vitale, Transcona, and West Kildonan. All of those things together merged into one big happy family, or, well, allegedly happy.
It's so funny thinking of these now neighborhoods as entirely different entities.
Well, that's right. And they were legal entities. They were responsible for their own street maintenance. They were responsible for their own police force and firefighters and libraries. All of those things were done individually, right, by all these various, what you say, were now neighborhoods of Winnipeg.
So remind us about the reasoning for the amalgamation.
Well, I think it was to achieve efficiency. In fact, this was something that goes back even further than our 1972 date. If you go back a dozen years before that, in 1960, you have the formation of something called Metro, or actually its full name was the Metropolitan Corporation of Greater Winnipeg. The idea was basically that they were following the model that Toronto had pioneered, where they took a large geographic area and said, okay, for in this area, even though it's a bunch of different municipalities, we'll have one group that handles sort of some major functions that they all need to have done. And the idea would be to create greater efficiency. So this greater area, this metro that they created in 1960, it was responsible for property tax assessments, to run the transit system, you know, for the buses. They maintained the major highway, the roads, not the little side streets, the residential streets, but the major ones. They were responsible for bridges, the supply of water, zoning and building permits, the parks, diking and flood control, river and stream protections, civil defense, mosquito control. Of course, we sometimes think of that as a major responsibility here in Manitoba. Mosquito control, weed control, all of these municipalities then got that all those services from this metro government. And it was a government. It actually had an elected council of people that were overseeing this metro area. So there was basically a two-tier system. There was the metro government that did all of these services I've just named for the entire region. And then there was the governments of the individual municipalities, and they still had responsibility for things like police and fire and garbage collection, sewage collection, health and welfare, small parks, residential streets, libraries, and they were responsible for collecting the taxes. Because, of course, none of this happens without taxes. We all resent paying taxes, but the reality is those taxes enable these services to be provided. So the municipalities, the individual municipalities, had to collect the taxes on behalf of themselves, and also that metro, that broader area.
So once the amalgamation happened, what happened to all these municipal halls?
Well, that's exactly the point. For a number of years, that carried on as it was, these just two-tier. And then the government of Ed Schreyer came in and said, you know, it would be so much more efficient to have just one government as opposed to this two-tier system. So they proposed then the creation of an actual one municipality. So the idea was to create greater efficiency. You know, instead of having, you know, 14 municipal halls around the city, you would have just one on Main Street. So they merged, and say in 1972, the 1st of January, we now have one city and therefore one of these various things. And now, over the years, you could argue it didn't really lead to a great efficiency. I mean, they still had to have regional offices. So some of these municipal halls, for example, were turned into regional offices for certain things. One thing that was efficient, I think, they did achieve a fairly significant downsizing of the municipal council. So in the immediate aftermath of Unicity, the city council consisted of a mayor and 50 city councillors, 50 of them. Well, today we have in Winnipeg one mayor and 15 city councillors. So there was certainly a significant saving there in terms of councillors. But say, arguably, I don't know that it's led to a huge amount of efficiency, but that was the rationale that was given way back then. So you've now got all these now potentially vacant municipal halls around the city. What do you do for them? Well, they were turned to various other purposes. The Brooklands, for example, was turned into a community health center. St. Boniface, Charleswood were used for community offices of various kinds. St. James today is a Métis community office. Assiniboia is a museum. It's a really nice museum out in the west end of the city for that area of the city. St. Vitel, West Kildonan, they were sold into private hands. They're now, I think, an insurance agency and a telemarketing firm. Tuxedo, Old Kildonan, and East Kildonan, Transcona, those were all demolished. In fact, the interesting thing about that is a lot of these buildings were relatively young. A lot of these municipal halls had been built in the 1950s. So little more than 20 years later, a number of them were just torn down.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there are, to my knowledge, two that are vacant. The one on Pembina Highway, the former Fort Garry Municipal Hall, it was used by the Winnipeg Police Service until a couple of years ago.
Where's that on Pembina?
It's near the corner of Pembina and McGilvery, just a little bit south of there on the east side. There's a library right next door. That was the municipal hall for the rural municipality of Fort Garry. You say it was used by the police until a couple of years ago. They moved to another facility, and just by there the other day, it looks to be basically sitting empty.
And that's just been for a couple of years, though?
Couple of years, yeah. I mean, most of these, they were used for various things. So, for example, the North Kildonan one, which was built in late 1950. So it's therefore about 60 years old now. It was turned into first an office of the Department of Community Corrections, sort of, I guess, community policing in a way. It was used for a provincial office for home care for a while. And then from 2008 to 2014, it was another one of these community policing offices. In fact, what is significant about that is that that was when the building was made barrier-free. Of course, a lot of buildings built in the 50s, they didn't make any provision for people who were, for example, in wheelchairs. You just had to struggle whatever way you could up a flight of stairs. So what they did when they converted that municipal hall was they put a, well, if you drive by it today, there's this big orange brick on the front of the building. It kind of changes the look of the building quite dramatically. It was to allow people in wheelchairs to easily get in and out of the building. Well, in 2014, the police moved out, and the building then has sat empty now for the last 3 years. And it's odd because I was by there not long ago, and the lights are on. So whether that's to dissuade vandals or what, I just don't know.
Very interesting. Gordon, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Nadia.
And our clue for next week is?
Well, west of Headingley on the Trans-Canada Highway, there is a street called Lido Plage Road. And it reminds us of a once popular recreational pursuit that occurred all around the province.
Can't wait. Gordon, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.